Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, people, we were right back. You know, that first hour we had was extremely emotional. We're just going to make a little quick comment before we go to our great guest. We're so blessed tonight to have not only Jacob on, our wonderful younger co-host, who is much, 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 much younger than Pappy here. And we also have the one and only Paul Fromm on. He's going to really, he's got some great stuff. I mean, it's great, but it's scary. But before we go there, we're just going to make, me and Lee just going to make a quick comment before we leave the first hour. So emotional. Talking about, I mean, how can you get more emotional than D-Day and the attack on the United States Ship Liberty? You know, I think it was Lee brought up the fact that we're about talking about Pastor Chuck Baldwin. Back in the day, a long, long time ago, when James Edwards was a lot younger and I was a lot younger, we used to have Chuck Baldwin on regularly at what we call the Bean Field out in Millington. And we also had Colonel Bo Grice to come on. But I just thought y'all might be interested in that. But those two are really hard to pin down now. Lee, you had something you want to say before we go to the guests.
Yeah, just real quickly. You know, before we are accused of being hate radio central, I was just saying we just need to we hate people's behavior, but not their person, because Jesus died for everybody to give us a chance, and there's always a chance to have introspection and accept Jesus and stuff.
And last comment, if anybody has any hate, direct it to me, because I can take the hate, but do not screw with my little kids, my brothers, and my co-hosts. Okay, how are you doing tonight, Paul Fromm, and how are you doing tonight, fella?
Well, I'm doing really well, thanks.
It's a wonderful, it's such an honor to have you on tonight. Also, such an honor to have Jacob Tyler on. I was kidding about you. I hope you'll take it in stride on the first day. I told Sam, Mr. Fromm, he's kind of like Pappy here. I'm 72 years old. We're getting longer in the tooth, and our memory sometimes ain't what it used to be. I said, maybe he'll call in, maybe he won't, but I think he will. Anyway, tonight, Jacob, I'm sure you know Jacob. He's going to pretty much drive this interview, and Lee, my other guy, he's got some stuff he wants to ask you, but it's one hell of an interview we're going to have. So take it away, my brother Paul.
Paul. Yes, was there something you wanted to ask me?
Oh, I was going to say, I want you to discuss it. I'm turning everything over to Jacob right now, and I want you to go ahead and take off on what you wanted to talk about. Take it away, Jacob. Well, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get everybody confused.
Oh, yeah, no problem, Pappy. Well, yeah, well, first off, it's a real pleasure and an honor and a blessing to be on air with all of you tonight as well, and just glad to be here and be on air with each and every one of you. And it's good to be on air with you as well, Mr. Fromm. It's actually been quite a long time since we met. I think we met back in 2010 at a Council of Conservative Citizens Convention. And we've had a little bit of interaction over Skype since then, but I don't think I've seen you in person, you know, since that time. So it's an honor to be back on air with you.
Yes. Well, one of the things that really concerns me is that we are actually in a war. There's a wholesale purge going on between the patriotic sites of people who are critical of immigration, people who have dissident views about World War II. YouTube, Facebook are absolutely performing a psycho-cynical Silicon Valley purge of dissent. This is being agitated and coordinated by the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith and the Southern Poverty Law Center, and they make no bones about it. This is not a rumor or a conspiracy theory. They're quite blunt and quite out front about it. A wholesale trampling of the First Amendment and free thought and free speech, because they are absolutely blind-ass terrified of the growth of dissent across Europe, across the United States, and the Dominion of Canada. That a lot of people are finally doing what we've wanted for so many years, and that is waking up. And that's largely because of the information, the vast amount of information that's available over the Internet. And a good part of that is thanks to radio shows like Blood River Radio.
Well, we appreciate that. Now, for, you know, to Eddie and Matt and Lee and myself and I think most all, if not all, of the listeners of our show and certainly people throughout the movement at writ large, there's, you know, I think there's a general understanding of who you are and the work you do and of course, great appreciation with that as well. But for some folks that may be listening tonight, they might not be as familiar with you. So for the benefit of those to whom that applies, could you tell us a little bit about your background and what it is specifically you do in our circles to give everyone a frame of reference?
Yes, well, when I'm asked to introduce myself to people who are new, I say that I have two big issues, free speech and immigration, not enough free speech and too much immigration. And it's something I've dedicated myself to going back to a long time, back to the mid-1960s. We might not have seen it back then, but we have increasingly. The North America and Europe are being invaded by the Third World. But this invasion, ironically, unlike the past invasions, is not a phenomenon caused by our having lost the war. You know, it was not unusual in the past that one tribe attacks another tribe and beats them and takes over their territory and enslaves them and maybe genocides them. And that's what happens with many of the Native Indian tribes in North America. Mm-hmm. Well, that was the way of the world. But that's not what happened. We didn't lose a war to darkest Africa or to Guatemala or some other country like that. The great population shift, or the great population replacement of white people, has been organized by people at the very top of our societies. And I know they hate that term, but people who are absolute traitors to our race. They want to replace us for a variety of reasons, but that's what's going on. And with the present demographics, the present numbers, unless stopped, and I don't mean curtailed a little bit, I mean a moratorium, but with the present numbers coming into the United States every year, 85% for the Third World, same thing in Canada, the white population of the United States, the founding settler people, will be a minority by 2041. That's like 22 years from now. If something isn't done, you will be a minority. In Canada, we've got a few more years, maybe by 2050 or just before. But the people who built this continent will have been replaced by policy. That's genocide. That's what we're fighting.
Well said, well said. And so would you consider it a pretty reasonable and accurate summary of the sort of work you do and the nature of your advocacy to say that you're a white civil rights activist?
Yes, and well, of course, in parallel with that.
Well, people will hear the music. My brother Paul, we've got to go to commercial. Well, I hate to interrupt you, but you have to go to commercial. We've got to pay some bills. We'll be right back. I'm going to ask you a question, and after I ask the question, we'll go to you, then we'll go right back to Matt. Excuse me, Jacob.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused border agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text FIGHT to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. defendapatriot.com.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Isn't this great? Just the two of us. No work, no interruptions, no phone, no TV. Finally, we have a chance to just talk. I mean, how long has it been? Well, first of all, we should talk about your schedule. There are a few things that could use some adjusting, but overall, I think it's going all right. Basically, I think we're doing a pretty good job of communicating, which is good. You're doing a really good job of letting me know how you feel about things. I want to keep the lines open, if you know what I mean.
Jerry, it's 4 o'clock in the morning. What are you doing?
Oh, I was just giving Emily a bottle.
Who are you talking to?
Emily.
She's only 3 weeks old, and she's asleep.
I know. I was just practicing.
Family, isn't it about time?
Isn't this great? Just the three of us. No work, no interruptions, no phone.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Hey, I'm just an old chunk of coal, but I'm gonna be a diamond.
Well, people, the old chunk of coal is back. I'm just gonna go back and make a quick comment, and I'm gonna ask your wonderful guest a question. And then after I ask him a question, I'm gonna turn it completely back over to Jacob. Mr. Fromm, or Paul, I feel like you're a brother of mine. You know, you sent us an article to Blood River. I tried to print it up today, but lo and behold, I couldn't get it to print up on the business center where I was holed up about 10 yards from my house. But the gist of it is kind of says, it's kind of like that the Facebook, and I would say not only Facebook, but other governmental entities, you said that they could, you said that they're continuing their war on dissent. And you named Louis Farrakhan, Alex Jones, Yiannopoulos, Loomer, and other critics of Jews and Muslims. Two questions. Why? One of them's rhetorical. I'll just go straight to the big question I got and take with the rhetorical. Why, given the thesis I have that here in the United States, our government is totally ruled by Zionist Jews? The Congress recently voted like to prove it, 523, there was not one dissenting voice from this anti-Semitic legislation. Two questions. Why are they so panicking? Why are they trying to cram all this anti-Semitic language down our throats, making it a crime to even criticize Jews in Israel? And secondly, this is what's most puzzling to me, and I'm going to go right to you. Why is it, since we are totally ruled by Jews in the United States, I think I know the answer, but Paul, why are the Jews also trying to crush dissent and criticism of Muslims? Back to you, Paul.
Yes, that is sometimes a thing that puzzles me. I too wondered why. I understand the goal in flooding America, Canada, and Europe with non-whites. That's to break us up as a homogeneous people and make us easier to rule. But many of the people that the Jewish pressure has brought in are not favorable to Jews. In fact, most of the third worlders are not. The Muslims are, for the most part, quite hostile, good reason, to Jews. It may be that I think they have a lot of contempt for these people, and they think, well, their IQ is roughly 85, they're easy to manage. And that may be it, or it may be a fatal mistake, because they will be bringing in a population, basically, but will not be as productive as the population that they're replacing. the other, so it's not really a very satisfactory answer. The other thing that has occurred to me is that in the order that they want to bring in, which is that we will be replaced by third worlders, it's important in the short run that we not be allowed to criticize them. And so in both Canada and the United States, one of the big no-nos is Islamophobia. We're told if you criticize radical Islam, well, you're Islamophobic, and that's somehow bad. I've never thought it was bad to be phobic about anything. Phobic is a Greek word meaning fear, and many fears are justified. I could give you the scientific word for fear of snakes, but let's just say snakeophobia, to put it in everyday terms. Then that's not a bad thing. If you're cautious or leery of snakes, probably smart. Not all snakes are harmful, but you shouldn't be picking them up and playing with them, because even if they're not poisonous, they can bite you and they can hurt you. That's not a good idea. So when we look at Western civilization, we have every reason to be fearful of Islam on the move. Islam has invaded Europe again and again and again. And until the middle of the 19th century, there were regular raids along vulnerable areas of the European coast by raiders from the Ottoman Empire of Turkey. And they would snatch people, women as for sex slaves, and men to be impressed into their army. Now, our bad experience with large-scale Muslim invasion is part of European history. We have every reason to be cautious. That doesn't mean we want to hate Muslims or do go over to their country to do them harm, but we'd be stupid not to be afraid. But I found it very interesting that right after 9/11, I mean, the smoke was still in the air, and George Bush proclaimed Islam is a religion of peace. And I thought, is that guy on crack cocaine? And our own prime minister within a few days was also proclaiming Islam is a religion of peace. And here you have the evidence in front of your very eyes of mass destruction in the name of Islam. These people didn't say, well, we're blowing these buildings up because, we're for the Democratic Party or something. I mean, they said that their purpose was to strike a blow for their vision of Islam. Well, how can one say it's a religion of peace? It may be that not all Muslims behave in that way. That would be fair to say, but to tell you it's a religion of peace is just nonsense. And I think perhaps what they're trying to do is to beat us down so that we will accept whatever invaders they bring to our shores. I think maybe that's the short-run goal.
Go ahead, Jacob.
Oh, thank you. So, Paul, as someone who has been in the field of civil rights advocacy, namely for people in the Anglosphere, for the considerable amount of time you have, I've heard the talking point. I know I've used it before myself. That everything of the left throws out at us in terms of guilting us by association or guilting us for the alleged crimes of our ancestors. And right. And all of the things they say, ostensibly on the basis of being all about, they're so concerned about human rights and whatnot. The talking point that I often use in response to that now myself is well, the shoe is pretty much on the other foot. Firstly, they're kind of projecting their own issues onto the people they're attacking. And secondly, if you're really concerned about civil rights, the thing you really should be focusing on now is what's happening in the Anglosphere, is mass immigration and things like that. As someone who has specifically dedicated himself to working in that field, in the field of civil rights advocacy for the time that you have, would you view that to be a correct statement? And feel free to add on to it if you have some thoughts of your own along those lines.
Yes, I would. Yes, I would. And I might also add that one of our challenges is to reinvigorate pride, European pride in our people. It should be the easiest sell in the world. The European people have accomplished, we are probably the most accomplished people who've ever walked the face of the earth. 95% of all the patents ever issued, for scientific inventions, from electricity to, the steam engine to the internal combustion engine to jet, et cetera, on medicine, have been issued to people who are Europeans or North Americans, or not to be too coy about it, to white people. Fantastic music, the architecture, and so on, of European civilization. We are absolutely second to none. And yet, if you ask the average high school student, assuming he even had any history, well, what are the accomplishments of Europeans? Oh, well, I don't know. I think we enslaved the blacks, we holocausted the Jews, dispossessed the native people, and we raped the environment. That is the absolute poison Kool-Aid that much of our education system has taught people. And there's a double reason for that. One, of course, is to undermine their sense of belief in themselves and their pride, and then also basically to undermine their long-term belief that we're worth preserving. You know, if we're real worthless people, well, what does it matter if we just race, mix, and go out of existence?
Well, Paul, we got to go to a quick break, fella. We'll be right back. And as our practice, I'm going to ask you a quick question, and then we're going to bounce it right back to Jacob. Thank you. People, hang on right back. We've got this great guest on tonight, and you do not want to miss what he's got left for the rest of the show.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
There's no longer a threat of tariffs on Mexican goods taking effect on Monday, as President Trump had threatened, as the U.S. and Mexico have reached a deal under which the Mexican government will do more to stem the influx of Central American migrants who've been heading through that country towards the United States border with Mexico. Senator Joni Ernst, the Republican from Iowa, says now it's time to look at the bigger picture.
And we are calling on our Democratic colleagues to help step up and fund border security, fund those agents, fund additional beds as necessary.
She was speaking on Fox News. Hillary Clinton mourning the death of her youngest brother, Tony Rodham, who she says in a tweet passed away last night. No indication of the cause of death. Clinton says she remembers him as a kind, generous husband and father who could light up any room with laughter. And this is USA Radio News.
Texting enrolls you in recurring automated text messages. Message and data rates may apply.
Hi, I'm Frank Thomas, the Big Hurt. After I left baseball, I just couldn't stay in shape like I used to. Turns out, once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone, and that can make it harder to get into shape. So I got back into the game with Nugenix. I'm feeling stronger with a lot more energy and drive. You want to get back into shape? Get Nugenix.
All you have to do is send one simple text.
Frank's right. Just text FORCE to 321321 to get a complimentary bottle of award-winning Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Its unique man-boosting formula is powered by Testofen, a patented key ingredient clinically researched to help a man feel stronger, leaner, more energetic, and more passionate.
And guys, she'll like the difference too.
Nugenix samples are not available in stores. To get your complimentary bottle, text FORCE to 321321. That's FORCE to 321321.
A small plane crashing on Long Island in New York this morning. Witnesses say it burst into flames after going down in a field at about 9:15 a.m. local time. The only two people on board were killed. No one on the ground was hurt. A new law signed by Texas Governor Greg Abbott is creating more abortion restrictions in that state. The bill bans cities and counties from doing business with clinics that provide abortions. It takes effect this year on September 1st, though it does not directly impact hospitals in the Lone Star State. Singer Celine Dion is putting on the final performance for her 16-year Las Vegas residency tonight at the Coliseum at Caesars Palace. The 51-year-old singer saying it's a bittersweet feeling to do the final show, as Vegas allowed her stability to raise her kids instead of always traveling on tour. But her career is not over yet. She kicks off her Courage Tour on September 18th, visiting more than 50 cities across the USA. And this is USA Radio News.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
Well, people, we're right back. I usually try to hold my questions and my comments to after we come back from the break. You probably picked up on that pattern. I'm going to throw this little quote out there Paul Fromm sent us. Listen, on April 30th, 2019, the Jerusalem Post had this to report. United Nations Ambassador to Israel, Danny Dannon, says, he says this: the only way to stop anti-Semitism is to criminalize it. He also says this, and Zuckerberg says that, agrees with him. He says that the time for talking and having a conversation is over. That's what the Israeli ambassador to the United Nations, Jacob, what do you think about that, fella? Ask Paul what he thinks about it. Take off, Jacob.
Well, it's rather telling that these people would resort to such heavy-handed tactics. Just like they've been saying in regards to Holocaust revisionism history for a long time, truth doesn't fear investigation. So it's very telling, and I hope would be very eye-opening to people that are still more on the fence. How about you, Paul? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that really lets the cat out of the bag. They know that there are very good reasons to criticize organized Jewry. We're not talking about all individual Jews, but there's a lot they have to answer for, especially the undue power they wield in the United States right now. So the only because a rational discussion is not one where they're going to do very well. They have to simply ban criticism, label any criticism of themselves as anti-Semitism, and if you can criminalize that, well, you basically shut up your opposition. Now, it will be difficult to do that in the United States, but not impossible if you can get the Silicon Valley censors to do your dirty work for you. The government doesn't have to pass laws, and that's why something I've been pushing for the last 6 months. And we've got to get this out as a discussion, and that is
so
that the Silicon Valley giants like YouTube, Facebook, Google, PayPal have got to be treated as public utilities. Because they have a virtual monopoly, maybe not 100%, but pretty close to it. And just like your local electrical company cannot pull the plug on Blood River Radio and say, we don't like your politics, we want to deliver electricity. As long as you can pay your bill, they've got to serve you. Similarly with your gas company, they've got to serve you. And and in this day and age, these tech giants are public utilities. The average person needs this access almost as much as they need electricity or gas or oil to heat their homes. And they because of their monopoly position, they must be either broken up, as was done earlier in the United States in the antitrust actions of almost a century ago, or treated as public utilities. And I know Donald Trump has made some noises in that direction. And even Senator Elizabeth Warren has made some comments about breaking up these big monopolies. They have got to be brought into line because they're persecuting. They're basically carrying out a minority agenda to shut people up.
So
I think the lead. Go ahead, Jack. I'm sorry.
So I have to ask then. Since you are in our circles, forgive the comparison here because the comparison is made without all of the despicable behavior that goes along with this person. But you are, Paul, in our circles, kind of like an Abe Foxman or a Morris Dees, minus the slander and the incessant victim complex and everything. In the sense that you are, you know, a prominent
and also the huge national, the huge annual salary. I understand Foxman they yeah. make something like 300.
Huge, the huge annual salary. See, that would be a big one. So, on the note of what Eddie was describing, this statement here.
Okay.
Yeah, would you ever? I mean, we're dealing with actual declining birth rates and the serious population debacle. Our ethnic group is facing. Would you, as an activist for our people, ever say something like, the only way to deal with white genocide is to criminalize any and all criticism of white people? I mean, it's just unimaginable. Could you ever imagine yourself saying anything along those lines?
No, I couldn't, because that's not the way our people operate. I mean, it is not. We are who we are. Because we have developed a tradition of intellectual freedom and curiosity and exploration, which requires freedom. Now, you know, it hasn't always been 100%. And there are cases where we've backslid. But one of the reasons that we are a creative civilization and people. Is we allow people to think, and it's hard, and not only think, but to express their thoughts, and I cannot see advocating that because that's just not in our tradition.
So quite a contrast there, folks. I mean, consider that with the viewpoints we're expressing here, the very real issues we're constantly trying to raise awareness about on a show, even people who style themselves as, you know, a more legitimate version of people like Abe Foxman or whatever for our own group wouldn't utilize rhetoric like that. So it's very significant when you think of it along those lines. Now, a moment ago, I believe you were about to interject something as well, Pappy. What was it you were going to say?
I was just going to say, I think Lee had a question to ask Paul. He just got back to the room. He went to get him some coffee. Go ahead, Lee.
Oh, yeah. I was just thinking, these corporations, they're committing treason against humanity, and these banks are. Like, they're helping China enslave, keeping their people enslaved. Now, if a corporation has the same rights as a human being, you know, they would be charged with, if they were a human being, they'd be charged with treason. But since they're a corporation, I don't know what we can do about them. What do y'all think?
Great question, Lee. Great question. What does Paul think about that?
Well, that's a pretty broad question. You're sometimes talking about their activity. If you're talking about their activities in foreign countries, for some of these big cooperating, especially in Red China, with the censors, and Facebook is cooperating with the censors in Germany. I think that's extraterritorial. But however, to the extent that they help in the censorship and suppression of people in North America, this is where I think we need strong laws to compel them. I mean, they're not public benefactors. Yes, you can get on Facebook for free. That's true. But it's not a favor to you. They're using every scrap of data that they can gather about you to help target you and flog advertising. So you present yourself as a willing advertising target. So that's the trade-off. You get to have a Facebook page and put up pictures of yourself and things that interest you and make comments and so on. And they're able to market you as part of their advertising, and they make mega bucks that way. So they have got to be brought into the line. And one suggestion is to treat them as a public utility and compel them. Now, as a secondary strategy, we in the freedom movement have to encourage our technically savvy comrades to move ahead with alternatives, and there are alternatives. There's an alternative to Twitter, that's Gab. There's an alternative to to Google, and that's DuckDuckGo as a search engine. There's an alternative I'm sure there may not be an alternative to Facebook, but yeah, there are. Now, they're small. There's an alternative to YouTube, and that's BitChute, and there are others. But we are going to have to rapidly develop counter forms for ourselves, because I see this persecution continuing. In fact, I think it's just ramped up a great deal in the last 6 months. So they're still reeling over the tremendous act of defiance they saw at Charlottesville. I think they could not believe, hundreds of young people, mostly male, but females too, protesting and making a lot of sense. And what I think absolutely freaked them out was these are the people that were supposed to have been propagandized, that have gone through the rotten education system, had their brains washed. Didn't work.
Paul, that's a great point. We hear the music. We're going to come back. We've got another segment. We'll be right back, folks. We're going to continue this conversation with me, Lee Jacob, and the one and only Paul Fromm. Hang on to your seats, folks. Be right back.
I reinstated a policy first put in place by President Ronald Reagan, the Mexico City policy. I strongly supported the House of Representatives' pain-capable bill, which would end painful late-term abortions nationwide. And I call upon the Senate to pass this important law and send it to my desk for signing. We are protecting the sanctity of life and the family as the foundation of our society. And most importantly of all, it is the gift of life itself. That is why we march, that is why we pray, and that is why we declare that America's future will be filled with goodness, peace, joy, dignity, and life for every child of God.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Well, folks, Joe Clint said he never had a lesson. We've had a few lessons here on this program, radio program. We're trying to do the best we can. Something I forgot to mention. Lee forgot it. Matt forgot it. Jacob had to say a word. We're so tied up with our passion We don't think in terms of dollars and cents, but people, something we're very excited about. If you would like to donate to Blood River Radio, we now have a way you can go on our website, thanks to all the hard work by us here at Blood River, by Sam, and by our webmaster. We have that up there. We've been working forever and a day. But you can go in to our website at Blood River Radio, and you can actually donate now with a credit card. I think we can take about three of them. But before we go, and I appreciate any donations you have. I hope that doesn't sound too awkward, because I should have done it at the very first. But before we go back to, in fact, I'm going to read Jacob this. Further talking about what Dannon said, Israeli ambassador to the United Nations, he doubles down on what y'all just got through talking about. He says, and they're so arrogant. I mean, this is not arrogant, criminal arrogance. He says, what Israel and the Jewish community around the world demand, they demand it. The Jewish community, they demand that those who engage in anti-Semitism must be punished, whether it is here at the UN, by political leaders or editors or policy pundits. Listen, they're not even going to allow college professors in a university setting where ideas are supposed to be debated in a civil manner. So I guess they would just want to go straight taking us to the jail. I mean, what about this free speech? What about the market of ideas? What about that, guys? What about that, Paul?
Yeah, they. I think they're in such desperate times right now that they want to forgo that. At least the people pushing the lobby, like the Israeli ambassador to the UN, if they could have their way, yes, criticism of Israel, criticism of Jews would be deemed anti-Semitism, and anti-Semitism would be illegal. And you know, ironically, when they had complete control of the Soviet Union right after the Communist Revolution, just such a law was passed. Anti-Semitism was punishable by death. That's what they're trying to get back to. Now, of course, they can't be quite that bold. They talk in terms of legal sanctions and so on. But that's where it's going to, and that's why the battle for liberty is absolutely where it's at. You know, if you can't talk about it, and that's the way it is in many other parts of the white world. In Germany, you cannot question the Hollywood version of World War II. If you do, you go to jail. Like my friend Alfred Schaefer, he got 36 months. Sorry, he got 38 months in jail last summer for putting up videos critical of the Hollywood version of World War II. His sister, Monica Schaefer, who's a Canadian citizen, made a video called "Sorry, Mom, I Was Wrong About the Holocaust," apologizing to her mother for having, as a teenager, attacked the mother and said things like, "Well, why didn't you do something, you know, when the Jews are being all killed in Germany? I mean, you were there. Why didn't you do something?" It was, you know, the idealism and sometimes arrogance of youth, as a teenage girl. Well, I mean, what could her mother have done in the middle of the war? But later on in life, when Monica understood that much of what we'd been told was a big old lie, she did this very, very cute video, and your listeners might want to do a search for it on Google. "Sorry, Mom, I was wrong about the Holocaust." She was back in Germany, and she got 10 months in jail. She got out late last fall. And there's all sorts of other people. There's a 91-year-old woman named Ursula Haverback, and she's asked for years, Where is the forensic proof of murders in places like Auschwitz? Proof, not just stories. She's now in jail for a year, at 90 years of age. You know, we are in a war for freedom of thought, and America is lucky up to a point that the government can't directly limit your speech, as they can in countries like me and mine and much of Europe. But you've got big private minority-controlled organizations like Facebook and so on that can do the state's dirty work for them.
So, no, Paul, go ahead.
Let me ask you a quick question, Jacob. I was going to go right back to you, if you don't mind. Now, Jacob and I have talked about this before, and I'm sure Matt and I have. Jacob, what we're seeing here And by the way, we've had Monica Schaefer on this show several times. We're so proud to have her on. Thanks to the great Paul Fromm for putting us in contact with her. But Jacob, all this, you know, you and I have been talking about this for a long time, my son. Is that, and we see it's going to criminalization coming right here in the United States. Jacob, I'm asking you, are we heading toward the death penalty anytime soon? Is that too far a leap, Jacob?
Well, you know, I think in terms of actual legislative decline and whatnot, I think we're a ways from that. But what is scary as a counterpoint to that is I think mentally a great many Americans, and certainly a great, you know, pretty much everyone on the left, is already gaslighted and desensitized to the point where as long as it were framed right, as long as the right spin on it were or the right spin was put on it, I think a lot of people in this country would very much be like, you know, applauding like trained seals while it was happening. I mean, you look at the people that to this very day have this attitude of like, oh, good riddance, you know, about the Branch Davidians and people that think that Randy Weaver actually somehow brought the, you know, the righteous wrath of the federal government down on him and his family, and it's really his fault that Vicki Weaver was, you know, had her brains blown out in the doorway of their home, you know, holding their baby by Lon Horiuchi and stuff like that. I mean, the sheer number of people that are still that still think that was okay and still actually have this good riddance kind of attitude towards them, and then you couple that with the vitriolic hatred and extreme bigotry and prejudice shown against whites in general, but any whites that dare not apologize for their very existence, who dare show themselves in public as someone who's advocating for our interests, like what Paul does. The sheer amount, and Paul, I know he can relate with this, I know he's been experiencing it a lot longer than I have, and I know you've seen it a lot too, you know, Pappy, and you know, so I mean that. When you couple it with that kind of vitriolic hatred that we get projectile vomited at us now for even just resisting the prevailing zeitgeist and saying, no, you know, this isn't correct, I think that a lot of people would go along with it. But in terms of the pragmatic application of it, in terms of the government actually coming up with some way to frame it, you know, and to where I think we're still a ways from that, because even if they could pull something like that off in theory, based on how deluded people are now, I think our government is still very afraid of sending the wrong message, because they self-censor to a certain extent in terms of all the effort they go through to always pretend like everything they're doing is on the level. It's not hard to see through it. It's not hard to pick it apart, and it's not hard to cry shenanigans on it just the same, but the government is always trying to act like what they're doing is on the level, and most of the time our arguments are more comprised of, well, no, you're not, you know, you're claiming it is, but it's not. So if we were really truly in that horrific state you're talking about, Pappy, I don't think they'd even be trying to convince us that they were legit. They wouldn't be apologizing for it. They, you know, it would just be, it is what it is, you know, that Orwellian boot in your face, whereas they still seem to put a lot of time and effort and resources behind perpetuating this impression that we really still are free and that we really still are this moral and humanitarian country.
Well, before we run out of time, let me go back to Paul. Paul, let me ask you one quick question, if you don't mind. Before we got to Paul, you mentioned a few minutes ago that I think it was just we're a short time away from being a minority in this country. Will we be getting the death penalty then, when we are outnumbered in the legislature, everywhere else? Will it come then? How far away is it, in your opinion, Mr. Paul?
Well, that was the point I wanted to make. When we slip into minority status, and probably 10 years after that, because the voting change follows demographics by about a decade. Just because we're a minority doesn't mean whites will not be a majority of the electorate. But after about 10 years, that will change too. When we're a minority, then I think the minorities may have, plus our own traitors, will have absolutely no mercy on white Christian resistance. I think at that point, you could see the death penalty for certain forms of dissent. And you see what already you can see the sneaky efforts to label certain points of view as terrorism. Like Facebook has banned. I'm sorry. Facebook has banned white nationalism and equate that to terrorism. White nationalism, white supremacy, they're all the same. Terrorism. No, it's not.
Well, Paul, unfortunately, we've come to the end of the hour. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for coming on tonight. It's what a great honor to have such an intellectual giant as you are. I also want to thank Jacob and Lee and Matt for coming on and making this show tonight. I want to thank Sam for broadcasting this all over creation. Thank all my wonderful friends out there. I love you all so much. Please come back to this same place, same time, same place next week. God bless you.